So let me start off by telling you a story. A number of years ago down in Grand Rapids, there was a woman named Rita Smith, and Rita Smith had an absolute love for children. And she was always heartbroken to see when children went without or had needs and had difficult situations to live in. So Rita Smith worked really hard, and she started a children's advocacy group. And it started out small, and she had a hard time getting funding, but over the years, she was able to build it up to a point where she had a staff of 10 down in Grand Rapids. And they were mostly young people, but they were passionate and they were innovators. And so at this child advocacy group, Rita would just innovate how children were helped, whether through legal services or mental health awareness or through working in partnership with the schools. And her organization was so successful, and it was so innovative that all of a sudden it caught the attention of people, not just locally, but around the world. And so one day she finally got a request from government officials in the United States and government officials in the European Union to come to Washington, D.C. for a three-week symposium where they would get together and they would talk about child advocacy and how we can better help children. And they wanted her to be their keynote speaker because she was so innovative in all the things that she did. And so as she was getting ready to leave for 3 weeks, she got the staff around. And right before she left, she received a grant for their advocacy group for $150,000. And so rather than sit on that money until she got back, what she decided to do was to take the 10 staff members and divide it amongst them and gave them each $15,000. And she said, what I want you guys to do in the next 3 weeks is use this $15,000, and I want you to come up with even more innovative ways to help children. And when I get back, I'm looking forward to sharing. And like whatever you do, and if it's an absolute failure, by all means, still try it anyways. I want you to come up with really innovative ideas on how you can help children. And I'm really excited to see what you guys come up with. So Rita went away for 3 weeks and her staff got to working. They were really excited. $15,000, do whatever I want with it to help out children. So Rita went and it was a wonderful symposium. And in fact, when she was coming back, she came back with more titles and more money than she ever thought possible. But when she came back, before she was able to announce everything that had happened in Washington, D.C., with all these heads of state that she met with, she was mostly excited, though, to hear how her staff had come up with innovative ideas. One staff member, Jeremy, he came up with a revolutionary way of partnering with schools and local healthcare workers, mental health care workers, in order to get in-school services. No one had ever tried it before, and it was a financially sustainable model. It was wonderful. Another of her staff members, Lisa, had devised a way to partner with local churches to come up with mentoring groups that were safe for at-risk teenagers, and she'd already begun implementing them. In just 3 weeks, started implementing them and seeing the health benefits for these mentorship programs. Another staff member, Brittany. Brittany had spent $15,000 on developing software. She had hired a software developer, and they had developed software that was able to use algorithms, news articles, social media posts to find out the places where parents would need to feed their kids the most, where kids would be at risk for needing food the most, and where parents would most likely go to get the food, and what kinds of nutritious foods they would most likely take and prepare for their kids. And so it was really wonderful, and Rita was just bonkers. She was so excited, and she was, as she's hearing all this stuff, she said, okay, here's what happened in Washington, D.C. They have decided to give us all of this money, millions of dollars. They want us to have a branch of our advocacy group in every major U.S. city, in New York, in L.A., in Houston, in Dallas, in Detroit. And what I'm going to do is you guys are going to be the heads of these places, and you're going to hire your own staffs, and we're going to continue to innovate like we're doing here, but all around the country, and hopefully if that works, all around the world. And they were all excited, and she started assigning cities to everyone, and they're just ecstatic with what's happening. And then all of a sudden, Rita remembered, oh, wait a minute, we didn't hear from Andrew. Andrew, what did you, I'm so sorry. I'm so excited. I'm really sorry. What did you come up with? I'm really excited to hear. And Andrew went and he got his laptop and he turned it around and showed her his expense account. And he says, I still have the $15,000 in my account. I didn't use it. And Rita was just like flabbergasted. What do you mean you didn't use it? No, I didn't use it. That's a waste of our money. You could have invested at least in our food pantry so that more family, you know, we run out of food all the time. You could have at least bought more food so people could have more food in the food pantry. It's not innovative, but you could have at least done that to help people. Why didn't you spend the money? And Andrew started grinding his teeth. And he finally said, I didn't spend the money because you are a slave driver. You don't care about children. All you care about is your own ego and your own fame and fortune. You only care about money, and that's why you're doing this whole thing. Now, if you were Rita, how would you respond to Andrew? Go ahead, write your responses back here. I'm very curious. If you were in Rita's position and you had a staff member talk to you like that and accuse you of that right in front of everybody else, how would you respond? What would you do? Let's see if we can come up with some answers here. While I'm waiting, oh, hey, Steve Shattuck said, love the orange and blue, Pastor Nate. Yeah, thank you. I like the orange and blue. I'm wearing Kingsley Heritage Days shirt. It's Kingsley Pride. What would you do if you were Rita? April said, you're fired. Right, just simply put, you're fired. Andrew said, I would fire him. A little less gusto than April, but yeah, I'm hearing you. You would fire him. What else would you guys do? You would absolutely fire him. Yeah, I think that's what I would personally do too. Rita, do you know what Rita did? Rita looked at him and said, you know what? Because you think I'm a miserable slave driver, give your expense account to Lisa so she can use it for good. And you know what? You are fired. But you're not only fired, I'm writing a press release so that no other child advocacy group ever will hire you again. You are the one who doesn't care about children. And if you think I'm a monster, I'm going to treat you like a monster. As you could guess, this story was 100% made up, but it was 100% true. In my parable that I just told, it is oftentimes in the business world, not always, but oftentimes in the business world, your boss treats you the way you treat your boss, right? Not all the time. I know there's exceptions. I know there's really difficult bosses. I know there's really wonderful bosses who treat people the way they ought not be treated. But generally speaking, all things being equal, oftentimes, not every time, your boss will treat you the way you choose to treat your boss. Jesus told a similar parable, which I just happened to rip off. And it's about a similar concept. And if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to open up to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 11. We're going to read the entire parable that Jesus gives us. And by the way, this is the last parable that Dr. Luke recorded in his gospel. No more parables after this in Luke. We're heading the home stretch. Next week, if God wants it to happen, we are going to preach the triumphal entry. Next week is Palm Sunday, and it's the triumphal entry. And by the way, if you are going out shopping sometime this week, I highly encourage you to buy two things if you can. Buy grape juice and buy some saltine crackers. Next week is the first week of the month, and I would like to remotely celebrate the Lord's Supper with you. And so if you don't have those things in your fridge, in your kitchen, we can come up with other things. But if you're thinking about it, get some grape juice and get some saltine crackers. And we can celebrate the Lord's Supper together remotely and as a family, if you're in a family situation. But yeah, so we're in Luke chapter 19, starting verse 11. Next week is Palm Sunday, and we are talking about Palm Sunday in the text. God planned that out, not me, because I'm not that smart. You guys know that. But Luke chapter 19, verse 11, Just seeing if any last minute comments came in here. Let's see. Mike said, perp walk him outside. Okay, so Andrew's getting perp walked outside. Archie. Hey, Archie. Good to see you here today. He said, the door guy. Chuck said, call him in a closed room and have a coming to Jesus meeting. Yes. Absolutely. And Amy hearted that for some reason. Yeah, you're going to fire him. That's good, though. Oh, hey, good to see you here, Bartlemaze. Hey, good to see you here, Fred. Yeah, you're gonna fire that guy. It's just not okay. It's not okay. But we're in Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus told a very similar parable, which I ripped off, so it should seem familiar. We're going to read the whole parable, so read along in your Bibles if you have them. Luke 19, starting in verse 11. As they were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away. Therefore, he said, a nobleman traveled to a far country to receive for himself authority to be king and then to return. He called 10 of his servants, gave them 10 minas, and told them, engage in business until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to rule over us. At his return, having received the authority to be king, he summoned those servants he had given the money to so that he could find out how much they had made in business. The first came forward and said, Master, your mina has earned 10 more minas. Well done, good servant, he told him. Because you have been faithful in a very small matter, have authority over 10 towns. The second came and said, Master, your mina has made 5 minas. So he said to him, you will be over 5 towns. And another came and said, Master, here is your mina. I have kept it safe in a cloth because I was afraid of you since you're a harsh man. You collect what you didn't deposit and reap what you didn't sow. He told him, I will condemn you by what you have said, you evil servant. If you knew I was a harsh man collecting what I didn't deposit and reaping what I didn't sow, why then didn't you put my money in the bank? And when I returned, I would have collected it with interest. So he said to those standing there, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. And from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away from him. But bring here these enemies of mine who did not want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. Whoa. It's pretty serious, parable and warning at the end. So Jesus is telling this parable, and we've seen this already in Luke. He starts off because everyone thinks as soon as Jesus gets to Jerusalem, the kingdom of God is coming, and it's going to be here. And Jesus tells this parable in order to say, yes, as we've seen in Dr. Luke throughout the gospel, it's here right now in the person of Jesus. It's here right now when any one of his followers from then till today does something, anything in the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God is here, but it's not yet here. It's already, but not yet. It's not yet here because it hasn't fully come in power. It's not here yet because we only see glimpses of it, glimmers of it, pockets of it here and there when God's people act in Jesus' name to do good things and to show kindness and love and mercy to those who are living in this dark, cold, dying world. It's not fully here because we still live in a world that's fallen, that has diseases and viruses. And so Jesus is telling them, yes, it's already here in you, but it's not yet here. And so it's like this. And Jesus, he tells this parable to answer the question, how will Jesus respond to us when he returns? How is Jesus going to deal with people on the earth when he returns? And so we see from this parable, you know, Jesus, he's the one who goes away to be the king. He's crucified, resurrected from the dead, ascends into heaven, and when he comes back, every eye will know that he is the true king of the universe. And so when he comes back, the nobleman comes back as king, Jesus comes back as king, he is the king. But before he goes, he gives all of his servants these minas. And a mina was essentially, it was like 100 days worth of wages. So in northern Michigan accounts, let's just say $15,000. That's why I chose $15,000 in my parable. It's an easy number for us to remember. So it's about 100 days' wages, $15,000. He gives each of his 10 servants that he has here $15,000. And he says, invest it. invest it, which is what Jesus says to us. He says, I've given you talents, I've given you gifts, I've given you abilities, invest them. So go ahead and invest. Go and invest for the purpose of the kingdom. And so we see these guys, they invest it, and there's three kinds of people in this parable. There's three kinds. There's one, the faithful servant, right? And they take the talents and they take the time and they take the gifts that Jesus had offered them and they invest. And they add to the initial investment. There's people who are faithful in name only. They're disciples in name only. They are the one guy who said, here, you're a harsh person. And he slanders his master. He slanders the king. He says, I know that you're a terrible, awful person. And so I was scared of you because you're a scary person and terrible. And here it is. And he slanders him. And then you had the third type, which are the rulers who like, we don't want anything to do with you. You're an awful, terrible person. We want nothing to do with you're not our king. How did the nobleman deal with his subjects when he returned? The nobleman dealt with his subjects when he returned exactly the way they chose to deal with him. How will Jesus deal with us when he returns? Jesus deals with us the same way that we deal with him. God, what you do with God determines what God does with you. What you do with God in this life determines what God will do with you. What you do with Jesus in this life determines what Jesus will do with you. And so Jesus, he's encouraging them, look, you need to you need to follow me. And you can't just be like a hanger-on person who's like goes to church once in a while, or maybe your spouse is a believer, but you're not, or maybe your kids are, or maybe grandma took you to church, but that's not enough. Jesus offers us the free gift of salvation. He says, look, and trust in me, and you are saved from your sins. Believe that I died on the cross for your sins and rose again, and that's a free gift. But it doesn't stop there. As soon as we receive that free gift, then Jesus says, come, help build my kingdom. He says to all of you, if you've trusted in Jesus, he says, come, help build my kingdom on earth. We live in this dark, isolating, selfish, angry, hateful world, bitter world. Come, bring my kingdom to the world. Come. I've invested time and talents and energy in you. You have gifting. You have ability. You have things you're good at doing. Use those to build my kingdom. So at home, from Facebook, what I want you to do is think about ways that God's blessed you. But more specifically, what are your talents? What are your abilities? What do you do for work? What are the things you're good at? So write them in, and we'll come back to that in a second. But what are you good at doing? What are your abilities? What are your talents? And I especially want the weird ones. So Taylor family, if you're watching at home, Katrina, I want you to write, I bring quail eggs to people and have them eat hard-boiled quail eggs. So if you have things that are different, put those in there. If you have human tricks that are off the wall, put those in there, please. So we'll come back to that in a second. But Jesus, he's telling us this parable to tell us that Jesus will deal with you the same way you choose to deal with him. And so it's kind of like this. It's like, imagine if someone offered you a Bowflex. You guys remember what those Bowflexes are, right? And you see those commercials, those ripped people, and they're like, right? And it can work out every possible muscle, the biceps, the triceps, the quads, the glutes, your face muscles, right? You got all the pulleys and levers. I don't know how it all works, but it's amazing. And those things are like thousands of dollars, right? And imagine if someone offered you a Bowflex free and clear. They said, here, you want a Bowflex, right? Now, there's three possible responses to a Bowflex, right? Number one is you can say, yes, I would love a Bowflex. And you receive the Bowflex, and you work out every day, and you become much more physically fit, right? That's number one. Number two response is, yes, I would love a Bowflex. And you get the Bowflex and you put it in your bedroom, and then it becomes a place to hang all of your dirty laundry or your pants that you, they're kind of dirty, but not dirty enough that you want to wash, so you'll wear them again sometime if it's not really important, right, kind of thing. And then, you don't get physically fit. The third option is, No, I don't want a Bowflex. I'm not interested in working out. I have a couch. That's my working out. I do sit up a day. I sit down on the couch and then I get up, right? That's kind of what Jesus is sharing with us here. He's offering you the free gift of salvation. And you can receive it and do absolutely nothing with it and not get physically fit, not change the world. You can reject it, say, no, me and physical fitness, it doesn't work. Or you can accept it. And you can say, you know what, I'm gonna do this. And you work out and you get buff and everything. And that's kind of what Jesus does. He offers you the free gift of salvation. If you receive it and then you say, and now I want to use every one of my gifts, my abilities, my stupid human tricks in order to build the kingdom of God, do it in the name of Jesus. It changes the world around you. It shows people that there is a God in heaven who loves them because they can see him working through you. When you choose to use your job, when you choose to use your abilities, when you choose to use your entertainment options for the glory of God, to build his kingdom, it changes the world around us, this dark, bitter world that we live in. Obviously, you can tell that no one's ever offered me a Bowflex. Actually, that's not true, though. I saw him watching here. Steve Balcom, years ago, I think it was a Bowflex. One of our deacons, he had said, hey, pastor, would you like a Bowflex? And you know what I said? I was like, I would love one, but I don't have time to work out, and I don't have a place for it. So thanks, but no thanks. And obviously, the results have shown. We do that with Jesus, don't we? Jesus says, I want to give you this free gift of salvation. More than that, I want to invite you to help me build the kingdom of God here on earth. And we say, I don't have room for it. I don't have time. I'm going to live for myself. Let's look at some of the things you guys came up with that you're good at. Wow, there's a lot of them here. Okay, so April said serving others. Susie said serving others. Jeannie said, I'm a social worker, very compassionate. Yeah. And so, like, you use your abilities. Jesus is calling you to use your abilities in his name. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going around every day and saying, I'm helping you in the name of Jesus. You could, but it means that you wake up every morning and say, Jesus, I'm going to be a social worker for you. Help me to bring compassion into this world today. I'm a servant and I want to serve in your name. Help me to show the kingdom of God is real and here and coming soon in the name of Jesus. Andrew said she's good on loving on people. Politically incorrect sense of humor. I can attest to that, right? And that's helpful. Humor is incredibly helpful. Amy said, I make a mean chicken enchilada. Yes, and you know what? Good chicken enchiladas are a foretaste of eternity. It is a good taste of what heaven is like. And so we rejoice in that. And you do it in the name of Jesus. And it changes this world. And we say, this is a great enchilada. This is just a foretaste of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Absolutely. April said, I can fold my tongue back. I don't know what to do with that, April. Do it in the name of Jesus. Like, do you mean like back like this? Or like, I don't know. Anyways, Tori says, teaching little humans, aka curtain climbers. Yes. And Jesus says, receive the little ones into this kingdom. Sharon says, teaching, right? And Sharon's a fantastic teacher. And you do it in the name of Jesus. I know that you do. Misty said, anyone want a Bowflex? I might have one in storage. I might take you up on that. I don't know. We'll see. But you guys in the comments, you can claim it first. Jeannie says she has musical ability, singing and playing clarinet. Yes, music. Oh, goodness. It's such a blessing. It brings us closer to God. Hey, Ellen, good to see you here. I saw you joined us. Steve said, I teach all subjects, manners, respect, listen, compassionate, kindness, and love. Yeah, and that brings the kingdom of God where we are today. James Archie says, helping and volunteering. Absolutely. And you can do that in the name and the power of Jesus. Chuck says, I've had a faith crisis for some time, but I tried to use my faith in the past through my comics and through my coaching. I'm compassionate and have opened our home multiple times, and I do not want a Bowflex, even if Jesus offers one, through just end up being placed to hang laundry. Yeah. And right. And Chuck, yeah, you've ministered to me through comics before, and I've shared that with you, but yeah. And Steve Balcom, Obviously, the Bowflex hasn't worked for me either. Jane says, I've served children. And I know some of you, a lot of you actually out there, a number of you watching, I don't want to out you because you didn't out yourself on there. You sell insurance. I was talking to an insurance guy at a party before we were allowed, you know, back when we were allowed to have parties. And he was saying that as an insurance person, he didn't realize how much counseling he was going to have to do. He just thought he was doing, you know, money and everything. And Patty's shaking her head. You're a tax consultant, right? You counsel a lot during your tax consultants, during your work. It's an amazing opportunity. Say, wake up every morning and say, Jesus, help me to expand your kingdom today. And then you're the best banker you possibly can be in the power and the name of Jesus. You are the best fitness trainer than you are in the business in the power of Jesus. You are the best insurance adjuster that you are in the name and the power of Jesus. And that ministers to people, and they see the difference, and they can know that there's a God in heaven because we're bringing the kingdom of God here on earth. The things that you're good at. Also in your comments right now, what are other... So Jesus is telling us here, invest in the kingdom of God now, because it's going to pay out dividends. You're going to take your talents that God gives you for numbers, for ability, the ability to fold your tongue back. I don't know how God can use it, but he can. You're going to take those gifts that he gives you, and in the power of Jesus, and you do it in the name of Jesus, you multiply those gifts, and you help others, and you bring the kingdom of God here on earth. But there's rewards at the end of all this, isn't there? There absolutely is. Jesus wants us to invest those gifts. What are some other things at home that you can think of? Type them up that we invest in, just so we have more metaphors. You know, we invest, I don't want to give answers away, but what are things that we invest in? What are things that we invest in all areas of life? Go ahead and type those up. But Jesus is telling us in this parable, what you do with God determines what God will do with you. How you deal with Jesus is how Jesus will in turn deal with you. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. We're promised that. If you draw near to Jesus, he will draw near to you. If you are distant from Jesus, guess what? He's going to feel distant to you. And if you reject Jesus, Jesus will ultimately reject you. That's why we have that horrifying thing at the end where the king, and remember it's a parable, but Jesus told it this way to terrify us. He says in verse 27, but bring here these enemies of mine who did not want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. Whoa. That's a terrifying image of being separated from God. He loves you, he cares for you, but he has to punish sin. That's why he sent Jesus to take the full penalty of sin on the cross so that whoever believes in him does not have to be separated from God, does not have to perish, but can have eternal life. And more than eternal life, he welcomes you into his system. He welcomes you into his kingdom system. And he says, no, this isn't just about salvation, although it's about that, that's important. I want to invite you to build my kingdom with me. I need you. I want you. I will empower you. I've given you gifts to build my kingdom and make this bitter world into a better place. Go and do so. Do so in your jobs, whether you're working in insurance, in the grocery store, as a trucker, you can do it. And you can do it in the name of the power of Jesus. I am a full, strong believer that all life is ministry and that all work is important. There's no job that's more valuable or less valuable than another. All work is valuable and all work has meaning and value and purpose. And Jesus says, don't be one of those who reject me. And furthermore, don't be one of those ones who... they are distant from God. So many times I talk with people and I they say, I feel that Jesus is really distant from me. I feel that God is really far from me. And my first question is, how often do you go to church? And usually the answer is not much. Do you realize that God speaks every Sunday at your local church? It doesn't have to be this church. But if there is a church that teaches the Bible and they're reading the Bible and they're preaching the Bible. Some are better than others at their skill, but you're hearing the verbal, out loud, audible voice of God. You can hear him every Sunday if you go to your local church. So when we say, well, God's so far, go to church. I understand there are some toxic churches out there. Go to a different church. I understand that there's churches that kind of give lip service to the Bible and they don't really preach from it even though they say they do. Go to a different church. Find a church that preaches the Bible. And you'll hear from God. It's not because of the servant. It's because we're preaching his word and you hear his word out loud every Sunday. Jesus says, what you do with me determines what I do with you. If he feels distance, draw near to him. Go into the word. Go into prayer. Choose to dedicate your job, your life, your hobbies to build the kingdom of God. For crying out loud, nobody said this, but if you're doing online gaming, oh my goodness, you could be a shining beacon of light. You know, I know as you got those online groups going on and everything and people are, I'm having a rough time. You know what you could do as a Christian? You could say, hey, what's going on? They can share with you. You could say, hey, how can I pray for you? I know it's a little awkward, but it's not super awkward, and they'll usually tell you, and then you pray for them right there. You can use your hobbies to build the kingdom of God. You can use your hobbies to shine light in this dark world. What you do with Jesus determines what he does with you. And there's something else I skipped over when I was kind of explaining Jesus' parable. Look what he says. He gives these guys like $15,000 each. One guy makes $150,000. That's a great investment. Another guy only doubles it. That's still a great investment. So he doubles it to $30,000. But then what does Jesus do? He says, wow, you guys did a good job. Then he does this. He says to the first, well done, good, verse 17, well done, good and faithful servant, because you've been faithful in a very small matter, have authority over 10 towns. 10 towns. So this guy made $150,000 for his master, and then Jesus says, you have authority over 10 towns now. I mean, now think about it. Even here in a small town like Kingsley, $150,000 is not the city budget or the village budget. It's not. $150,000 cannot keep this village afloat. Jesus rewards his faithful servants when he returns. One day, this dark, fallen world that we live in, filled with disease and viruses and sorrow and pain and financial woes and division. One day Jesus will come back and we will no longer have a taste of the kingdom of God. We will see it. We will rule under him. And the Bible says we will rule with him. I don't know exactly what that means, but Jesus gives us a glimpse of that. He says, you took your talents, you multiplied them, and now I'm going to reward you. Have authority over these areas. Not in a negative way. Be a good ruler. Be a good leader. He's going to give you a blessing that is $150,000 can't keep a town afloat, let alone 10 towns. Whatever the blessings are in the kingdom that is coming soon, I don't know when, but King Jesus is coming back, is incredible. And so Jesus is saying, invest now. Invest in your future. So people are saying, yeah, what do we invest in? Yeah, Chuck says insurance. Yep. Yeah. You invest insurance, invest in your future. Our children, we invest in our children, our kids. Those are all important things. What else do we invest in? We invest in people, our future, our marriages, relationships with friends and family, said Amy. Tori says family and friends. Sharon said our convention or our church. Yeah, we invest in our church. We invest our time in the word, Amy said. Chuck said, and some I don't. Not sure what that meant, but right, like you invest in the stock market, you invest in finances, we invest in all sorts of things. And Jesus is saying, don't forget to invest in the kingdom of God. Don't forget to invest in your future. The investment in the kingdom of God is the best investment you can make. So if you're at home and you are here and you are far from God, draw near to him. Hit that heart button right now. I'll go back and look. I'll pray for you. If you're saying right now, I need to draw closer to Christ so I experience him more, I need to invest more in his kingdom and do my job, do my hobbies in the name of Jesus, still enjoy them, still do what you're doing, but do them in the name of the power of Jesus to transform this dark world. Hit that heart button. If you're here and you are like one of those servants who said, I don't want anything to do with Jesus, but he's convicting you right now, hit the wow button. And repent of your sins and believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again and you will be saved. He will bring you into his kingdom work. He will say, I want you to show the kingdom of God is real to the people on this earth. And for those of you who are currently investing in the kingdom of God with your time, talents, energy, keep going. Keep going. Jesus is coming back. I don't know when, but he will come back. And he rewards his faithful followers. What you choose to do with God is what God chooses to do with you. How does Jesus choose to deal with us when he returns? He will deal with us the same way we chose to deal with him. Don't use the Bowflex to hang up dirty laundry. Let's pray. Father, I pray for us as a congregation who is separated physically, but united by the Spirit of God. I pray for those that are here that have been faithful to serve you with their time and talents and gifts. I pray that they will continue to invest wisely their time, talents, and gifts, and their jobs, and their careers, and their relationships to build your kingdom, to let people know that there is a God in heaven because of the love and the grace and the kindness and the acceptance and love that they have. I pray for those who are here who are kind of Christians in names only. I pray that they will renew their relationship with you, that they will grow in their love of you, that you will transform them and help them to draw near to you. And as they draw near to you, you draw near to them. I pray that they will wake up every morning saying, Jesus, I don't know how I can do it, but help me to use my job for your glory. Help me to use this time I have at home for your glory. Help me to use my exhaustion for your glory. Help me to use my life to build your kingdom. And Lord, for those who are here that do not know Jesus, I pray that you will humble their hearts, help them to repent, help them to realize that right now you are calling them to admit that they need Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins and believe that he was raised from the dead so that they might become sons and daughters of yours, God, so that they might be adopted into your family, so that they too might be able to participate in the kingdom work you are doing. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.